The front door was painted black, with a shiny brass knocker that made a satisfying noise when Alfred used it. Rat-tat-tat. Birdie spied a lace curtain twitching in the drawing room window. "Someone's at home," she remarked. Alfred said nothing. He looked tired after their long walk, but then again he always looked tired. His grey moustache drooped, his shoulders were bent, his brown eyes sagged at the corners under his wide, floppy hat brim. Suddenly, the door was flung open. A housemaid in a white cap peered at them suspiciously, her gaze lingering on Alfred's frayed canvas trousers and baggy green coat. "Yes?" she asked. "What's your business?" Alfred removed his hat.
"The name is Bunce," he replied in his gravelly voice. "I came here on account of I was sent for."
"Sent for?"
the housemaid echoed. "A Miss Ellen Meggs sent for me, by passing word through Tom Cobbings."
"Oh," the housemaid put a hand to her mouth. "Are you the gore devil man?"
"The bogler, aye."
"And I'm Birdie. I'm the prentice."
Because Birdie was very small and thin and pale, she was often ignored, so she liked to wear the most colourful clothes she could find. This summer, her dress was a dull cotton drab, but she had added a little cape made of yellow satin, very soiled and creased, and there were red feathers on her battered straw hat. Stepping out of her master's shadow, she beamed up at the housemaid, eager to make friends. The housemaid, however, was too flustered to notice Birdie.
"Oh, why did you knock on this door?" she lamented. "The hawker's door is down by the coal hall. Come in quick, afore the neighbour see you both."
Hustling Alfred and Birdie across the threshold, she slammed the door and said,
"I'm Ellen Meggs. I'm the one as sent for you. My mistress knows nothing of this, nor won't neither, if I have my way."
"Ain't she in?"
Birdie asked shrewdly, glancing through the door to her left. It opened off a handsome entrance hall that Birdie thought finer than anything she had ever seen in her life. A lofty space with carpet on the stairs and paper on the walls, and a bronze statue in one corner. The cedar joinery gleamed, and the air smelled of lemon. But there was a broom propped against the hat stand, and through the door that she'd spotted, Birdie could make out furniture swathed in dust sheets.
"Mrs. Plumeridge is at the seaside for her health," Ellen replied. "Oh, but there's other old cats across the way that never leave their parlour windows, and they'll have seen you come in sure as eggs."
She stamped her foot in frustration, her round pink face growing even pinker under its frizz of sandy hair. Alfred sighed. His shoulders were slumped beneath the weight of his sack, which he never let his apprentice carry, no matter how desperately she pleaded.
"What's your particulars, Miss Meggs?" he inquired. "Tom Cobbings had none to give, save for your name and where I'd find you. Is there a bogle in this house?"
Ellen opened her mouth, then hesitated. Her gaze had fallen on Birdie, whose blue eyes, freckled nose, and flyaway curls looked as delicate as fine china. Birdie knew exactly what the housemaid was thinking, because everyone always thought the same thing. Only Alfred understood that Birdie was a heroine, brave and quick and valiant.
"I ain't afeard of bogles, Miss Meggs," Birdie announced. "Though I'm only 10 years old, I've helped bring down many a one, ain't that so, Mr. Bunce?"
"Aye, but we've heard enough from you, lass."
Alfred was growing impatient. Birdie could tell by the way he shifted from one ill-shod foot to the other.
"What's your particulars, Miss Meggs?" he repeated. "Who gave you my name?"
"A friend," Ellen answered. "She's Scotch but lives here in London. She said you got rid of a worry cow or some such thing, as lived in a coal hole in Hackney, and took a little shoebinder's child."
She threw him a questioning glance. When Alfred nodded, she continued hastily,
"Hearing that made me wonder about the chimney sweeps, boys, for we've lost two in the past month, and I cannot believe they both ran away."
By now she was anxiously fiddling with her apron, crushing it between her restless hands, then smoothing it out again.
"In the Dane Hills, where Mama were raised, a creature they called Black Annis used to eat children.
and would tan their skins for its adornment, or so I've heard.
Tell me about the sweeps' boys, Alfred interrupted. They went missing, you see.
From this house, Ellen assured him solemnly. They disappeared up the dining room chimney, and no one's seen 'em since.